Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The church's calendar, which takes us through the life of Jesus each year, has us walk along with him in our own time and space. The calendar is a playbook, a strategy book for victory. And the strategy is a simple one. Stay close to Jesus. Do the things that he would do. Say the things that he would say. Place yourself under his banner, and you will not only win, but you will live and live eternally. Very simply, the prophecy of Isaiah in the 45th chapter declares, I am God and there is no other. And of Jesus, St. Paul says to the Colossians, he is the image of the invisible God. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. What other banner would you like to place yourself under than that? In the church's calendar, Lent is a time when we learn from the Lord how to fight a spiritual battle as he does, fight and win. At the very outset of Lent, on Ash Wednesday, we are instructed by our Lord that when we fast, we should not pretend and not fast as the hypocrites or the actors who disfigure their faces and pretend that they are deeply suffering or pretend that they are Christ-like, shall we say. We're instructed to wash our faces, to keep our composure, to fast and pray in secret so that our Father who sees in secret will reward us openly. So as Christians, we place ourselves under the banner of Christ by allowing him to reward us rather than to grasp at any glory for ourselves. Strategy one. On the first Sunday of Lent, we witness Jesus fasting in the desert 40 days and 40 nights, entering into direct spiritual combat. And at the end of his fasting, he received not accolades, but a visit from Satan himself. If you ever thought things would get very easy at the end of a long fast. Even at the weakest point in his physical life amongst us, exceeded perhaps only by the weakness he experienced at the end of his passion, he emerged victorious from that struggle in the desert. Satan was defeated by the word of God, speaking the word of God, and directing those who wish to follow him into victory to likewise combat vainglory, greed, and gluttony. Grateful for the victory of Jesus handily accomplished in the desert, we likewise take up almsgiving and fasting and prayer in imitation of his generosity and self-control and devotion during the season of Lent. We place ourselves under a victorious banner, and we use the word of God for our words and the calendar for our playbook. On the second Sunday of Lent, we travel as disciples along with Jesus to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon and encounter a woman there who is named by the church fathers the mother of the Gentiles. She comes out to him from her land and pleads with him for mercy and receives something like the reception that the Gentiles and Gentile nations received for centuries leading up to this point. Jesus said to her, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he drew out of her persistence. She pleaded with Jesus, as we are meant to do. And indeed, rather than turn away in despair, the woman of Tyre and Sidon was praised for her faith, her humility, and her devotion, held up by our Lord as an example. She offered herself and insisted that her family and her dwell under the banner of Christ, and indeed she was welcomed in. She had a clear vision of the spiritual reality and the stakes. She would not leave Jesus' side because this woman's daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. She had real knowledge of the spiritual world that Jesus means to teach us about explicitly during Lent and today. For in the scriptures that we've heard today, the gospel passage, Jesus is found doing exactly what he did for the woman at Tyre and Sidon. The passage begins, Jesus was casting out a devil. And the people who witnessed this action, who had their heads on straight, wondered to see a person who previously could not speak suddenly delivered and speaking freely. The tongue of the dumb was loosed. The correct response is obvious. Wonder, awe, worship, peace. And yes, the instinct to be close to this Jesus and to never leave his side, to place yourself and your family under his victorious banner. That's the correct response. It's pretty easy. But some felt threatened for whatever reason by that deliverance that they witnessed, and they said something rather unbearable. Speaking of Jesus' power over evil spirits, they said, he is exercising power over evil spirits by means of a greater evil spirit. This Jesus, who began his earthly ministry with a decisive victory over Satan, was now accused of having genuflected to Satan. He was accused of worshiping Beelzebub and deriving his authority from the devil as Satan's underling. Wrong answer. I can only imagine that the people who just a moment ago had witnessed a miracle and the tongue of the dumb loosed would hear that accusation and quite correctly and instinctively say, well, that's just stupid. That's dumb. They might have said, just listen to what you're saying. Beelzebub is a derogatory play on the word Beelzebul, Lord of the High Place. Beelzebub, change one letter, and it's Lord of the Flies, or rather, Lord of that about which the flies gather, Lord of the Dung. This Beelzebub is a big-time loser in the cosmic sense. And Jesus has something to say about him and about devils in general. You can be at peace about the approach of a big-time loser like Satan if you are under the victorious rule of the King of Kings. But if you're on your own, and if you think you can be neutral, then you're as weak as a kitten. Jesus proceeds to teach about the truth of spiritual realities, that there is no neutral ground in the spiritual world. Seems unfair, but it's true. He declares, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. We start to cast our minds through the parables that he's given in the past, and we think about how unfair it seemed when he gave that parable of the money given to servants, and the landowner leaves, and he comes back, and two of them had made more and done good with their gift, and the one had done nothing. And Jesus' principle is, even to those who have nothing, what they have will be taken from them. Oof. But that's the truth. And here we are. And here's another illustration. He says, a man is delivered of a demon, just as this one was a moment ago. And he goes through his house and puts everything in order again, but leaves the house, as Jesus suggests, empty, swept. He left his house, as most of the church fathers would say, in a neutral state, not full of devils and not full of God. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walked through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's not fair. That's reality. The message of the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, is that victory has come. The last state of those who are in him is better than the first, if you are in Christ. When the prodigal son goes out from the house, he removes himself from the protection of the father and finds dryness and barrenness of the world and returns to his father's house, and his second state is better than his first. When humanity goes out from under the protection of God in the Garden of Eden, we began an entire age of wandering in the desert. But when the Lord invited us to return home through Jesus Christ, the second state of humanity is better than the first. When you were born into this world, innocent as you may have been, whether sooner or later, you were baptized into Christ, and spiritually your state is much better than the first. But today we see the photo negative of this enduring principle, saying that if your state is bad and then you receive a type of deliverance, the second state will be worse than the first if you don't fill your cleansed life with the life of Christ. If you don't open your house to be filled with the grace of God so that there will be no need for further worry, going out into this world alone, pretending that you are safe because you never pick a side, you never quite choose, because you're such a neutral person, well, that is pretending indeed. Jesus says to those who witness his victory over the power of Satan, "If I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." The Christian life is an acknowledgement that truly the kingdom of God has come. The season of Lent is about the victory of the kingdom of God over sin and death. It's about the victory of the King. But it's not a victory simply for us to observe and take note of. Jesus shows that an empty house is a vulnerable house. We're meant to participate, not just learn about. We're here to take part, not just take note. We're meant to be filled with the life of Christus Victor, Christ Victorious. And a soul that dreads to genuflect before the King of Kings to offer allegiance is a soul that is in trouble. We hear today from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, and he does not seem to say at all that the Christian life is a passive one in which we have received a benefit, and we are able to say, "Well, I'm glad that's over." Instead, he insists to us, "Be therefore followers of God, dear children, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Do that. And then he lists a whole bunch of vices that smell like something not sweet. Let's say it smells like Beelzebub. People who offer a life like this to God have not taken Christ as their king and left their souls empty and have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. "Let no man deceive you," says St. Paul, "with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, and the latter state of those will be worse than the first." Place yourself under the banner of a victorious king. Stay close to him. Walk in his footsteps through this life, in your time, in your space, and even in your calendar, even in this season of Lent. That is the winning strategy, the way to victory. A woman who was in the crowd that heard Jesus teaching cried out, "Blessed is the woman who gave birth to you and who nursed you." To which Jesus replied, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.